Moncrief on News Talk.
It's back. Riding in on a wave of Stranger Things type nostalgia, the Commodore 64 is being relaunched, or has been relaunched, but will there really be a market for a games console that has less computing power than your phone? Tech journalist Emmett Ryan is all excited about it. Afternoon, Emmett.
Yes, Sean, great to be back here. And saying it's got less than your phone is the mother of understatements. It is extraordinarily tiny, the amount of stuff. I'm trying to even think about how small the whole power is. Be like four typed pages, basically, in Microsoft Word, maybe.
Yeah.
You know. That would be the entire power of it, is what we're talking.
And the thing that's been relaunched, is it an exact replica of
Very close to it. Like, it works like it. It'll work with the old software from it. Like, it's designed to do that. It says 99% of it will be compatible, which basically means everything they've tried has worked. They just are trying to cover their backside in case the one thing doesn't. So it's basically designed, so it's not like sort of like an emulator, which would basically be a program you have within a PC which just plays like a Commodore 64. They've actually built a board from scratch in order for it to work and operate like a Commodore 64. And I'm sure some of the listeners are a bit too young to remember this, but gaming back then, or computing back then, wasn't all about a case of the PC is the work thing and the console is the gaming thing, or obviously there are PC gamers too. This was very much, it was a home computer was the term. You know, going back to the 80s, like I got my first one in the early 90s, like it would be the later generation of the 64 kids. And the idea wasn't just that you played games in it, but you were sort of learning how to use computers, because you'd have to type in code in order to make the games work. And you'd be learning things about how you print stuff and how you run programs and stuff like that. And of course, we're talking incredibly basic compared to what we do today. But I was even thinking on the way into this, for like parents who've got kids in Coder Dojo, you know, because obviously a lot of that, I'm sure, blows the minds of the parents. Quite a few of them will remember the C64. And like, you know, something like this would be great for them to show, well, this is what your mom or dad would have learned when they were, you know, your age doing this, as sort of a way to relate to them and stuff like that.
Yeah, but is it worth spending 260 quid just to show them? You could just tell them.
Yeah, you could just tell them. It is 300 euro, which is enormous. And it's the one criticism I really have, to be honest with the whole thing, is the price just seems a bit much. For context, a PS5 typically costs about 500 euro. That's obviously the absolute, you know, Rolls Royce of modern gaming type device, where you've got Commodore 64, which is essentially a greater than 40-year-old device in technology. But I have to say, though, having read up on this, the amount of work that people behind it put into it is really admirable, to sort of, because obviously there's a nostalgia craze right now, but it's clearly been made, I hate to say with love, but with real attention to detail, to try and make sure they are pleasing that nostalgia market to the absolute biggest degree. So you can play games in it, like, you know, you can load stuff like from old discs, from old cassettes even, and they even have, there is a USB port in it, so there is a bit different, but the USB port is designed to look like a cassette player.
Yeah.
So they are making sure they go for all those little touches.
Yeah. But in terms of what it's able to handle, very little still.
Nothing that would be modern, but it can handle basically lots of stuff that was made in the 80s. And I was thinking as well, I actually ended up having two Commodore 64s, because I had the one I got that was brand new, thanking you and all that, as a youngster. And then sort of tail end of secondary school, there were guys selling for like a euro at the school Christmas fair, and I figured, sure, a bit of crack to have a spare one, because one of them was coming with a monitor, you know what I mean? And I was thinking, that's great, handy to have that. So I ended up having two of them in the house, one of which, like I said, I paid a pound for back in the day. And yeah, it's like kind of going, gosh, that would be worth something now. But like, you know, seeing this, it's like, it's a great, you know, for people of our generation to see, you know, the work and effort being put into sort of, because restoring a bit of what was the heritage of our youth, really.
Yeah. And would an original one be worth anything now?
I said that just there, but when I think about it, there's still, I'm sure, so many of them knocking around in storage closets that probably wouldn't be worth that much. Like, you know, but given another couple of decades, it probably would have been worth quite a lot. So I should have kept that on, you know, for when I'm cashing in the pension, like sell a C64 from like 1991, I probably would have making a bit then.
Yeah. Now, so if somebody buys this new iteration of it, you know, to be completely authentic, you'd have to like plug it into your telly.
And it has a HDMI port.
Right, okay. Well, they didn't come with that back in the day.
But they came with the little cable you put into where the TV went in. So it's designed to work with modern televisions, all right. But the look, the feel is very much designed with everything in mind of sort of giving you that nostalgic look while having the required technology, shall we say, of today to make it work with today's other devices.
Right, okay. But say when you turn it on and you're waiting 5 minutes for it to, you know, for everything to load up.
That's actually the one thing that you haven't been very clear on, remarkably, in all the wording. Because if you were putting in the old software, yes, you would be. Because again, for some of the younger listeners, like, because people think of gaming today, it's like you would put the cassette in, you would press the load and, you know, run function, and you'd be waiting 5 to 10 minutes for the game to come on, as you were saying, Sean. So with the old stuff that you're putting in, yep, you will be having to wait that. It seems to be more focused, though, on the cartridges, which were the instant play of the C64 back in the day. And that was sort of, you know, wild. You got one always free with your, well, included with your package when you bought the Commodore 64. So I had like four games on it, like one of which was International Soccer, which was the one that everybody would have played at some point. But the thing I'm remembering from this is that as I would have moved through various things I used over life, I moved from that to a Sega Mega Drive, and I was amazed. You get in the game, you're playing instantly. And the more games consoles have evolved, the more they've gone into long loading waiting screens. So it's almost like they've gone back to the technology of, like, you know, the 80s. Whereas back then it was a weird scrambled television screen you were seeing waiting for it to load up. Now it's some sort of holding graphic, but it's functionally the same thing. It's like, you've got to wait for this to be ready. A little bit of us kind of going, you know, the way gaming has gone, it sort of hasn't been able to get rid of the one thing which sort of the mid-90s saw, which was waiting to play.
Yeah. Do you think they'll sell?
I think, well, given they're trying to go sort of from a, you know, direct-to-consumer global market approach, they should sell enough is the short version. Like, their approach is not quite Kickstarter, as in, if they don't hit the amount they need to make the amount they want to sell, they will just refund everybody is the plan. But they seem to have comfortably hit, you know, the marginal ready to do that. So they'll certainly not go broke on it. Now, will they make real money? Much harder to say. I wouldn't be confident of that. But I think the idea of this was, you know, people who were involved, I know there was a YouTuber who sort of led the project, you know, was to show what geekdom can do when it sort of, you know, puts its mind to it. Like, it's, you know, a bit of, you know, of art with a bit of money at the end of it, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian says, I remember as a teenager getting a version of the Live Aid cassette single that had a load of C64 games on the B-side.
Wow. I never knew that. Like, you know, that's incredible to hear. Like, you know, like, because there was an ITV show in the 80s where if you pressed record on your, you know, tape player, you know, at the end of it, you could download based on the what were weird squiggly sounds. It was a data file at the end of it, games and programs to play on your computer afterwards. And, you know, so instead of, you know, sort of the outro music you might have, say, or, you know, the intro for Shaman Creep, instead of it's coming out instead, like, and it's like, I'm sure parents were delighted at that. Like,
somebody else says, I truly believe that the only thing that will survive a nuclear war are cockroaches in the C64. I brought my old one down from the attic a couple of months ago. After about 30 years, it works perfectly. My kids' minds were blown at the fact that it took about 20 minutes to load a game on the cassette player, says Paddy. They were kind of hardy, I suppose.
No, they were a really durable device, but they were built for an era where kind of people realized you kind of had to make them durable because, you know, gaming was still a very young medium at the time. Like, and, you know, I remember even like sort of the Nintendo and Sega devices at the time would have been the NES and the Master System. They were kind of bulkier than what followed them because people still weren't used to the fact that, you know, kids are going to knock these over. You got to keep an eye. So I think as sort of parents realize kids are going to knock these over, they're able to make the devices more slimline because the parents paid attention more, essentially.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, sort of the CC4, it was a pretty beefy fella, like.
Yeah, I suppose it needed to be. Emmett, thanks so much for coming into us today. That was the tech journalist Emmett Ryan there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.